You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. You know, Adora, the universe has a problem that I bet all of us would love to have.
Which is?
The universe weighs a lot.
Okay.
But if you look at the universe, It looks like it weighs only about 3/4 of what it should weigh. Wouldn't you love to have that problem? That you look thinner and lighter than you actually are.
I would like to have that problem, but how do we know that?
Well, this
is a big
problem.
How much does it look like it should weigh?
This is an enormous problem in physics. It's called the dark matter problem. The universe should weigh about this much, but for some reason we can't observe enough matter to account for what we believe to be the weight of the universe. It's the dark matter problem. It's out there. It's matter. It's got to be somewhere, but we can't detect it. On the hunt for dark matter is all of physics and all of astrophysics, and that would include, of course, Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's the host of Nova Science Now at WGBH in Boston, also the director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History, and our good friend, The Hunt for Dark Matter. Neil, thanks for joining us.
Great to be back. Thanks
for
having me.
How close are we to finding the dark matter? And you can really answer this question.
Yeah, it depends on who you are. The particle physicists believe that they are hot on the trail of some mysterious particle not yet discovered that would account for this extra gravity that's out there. It's called dark matter, but a more accurate term would be dark gravity. So in other words, of all the gravity we measure in the universe, we can account for only about a sixth of it. Hmm. And that's the sixth that is the electrons, protons, neutrons, black holes, stars, gas clouds, everything that we consider normal matter that emits and absorbs and scatters light, that's one-sixth of all the gravity we see. And this problem's been around since the 1930s. It's the huge source of gravity, and we are dumb, stupid, clueless about what's causing it.
And around the world, there are detectors for these particles that you say, if we could detect them, it might begin to account for the dark matter. And neutrinos are one of the suspects, right?
Well, neutrinos are ordinary matter, but they're sort of the writing on the wall for us, because neutrinos, which were discovered, 70 years ago, were... So they were hypothesized back, in the early days of the 20th century. Neutrinos are an ordinary particle that barely ever interacts with the rest of ordinary matter. And so if that can happen...
Let's back up.
Oh, sorry.
What
sorry.
Is a neutrino?
Okay, so we learn about electrons, protons, neutrons. There are other particles. They don't stop
Lots
there.
Of them.
A neutrino is just another particle. And it's a constant. It comes out of certain... nuclear reactions that you can conduct in the laboratory.
And what does that have to do with dark matter?
What it has to do with dark matter is it's a particle that is so elusive that you needed extraordinary tools and methods to detect it. It's to the point where you had experiments that looked like, hey, something, there's some missing energy there. I wonder where it went. And someone hypothesized it left the room by virtue of some particle that we think carried that energy. And they said, what is it? And it's had to be neutral and little. So neutrino means little neutral one, actually.
Well, how do you detect stuff like this, and where do you go? I mean, it's not just...
Neutrino had its own challenges. Yeah. But the point is, it was the writing on the wall for the possibility that you could have particles that are living and working in space that have no interaction with anything you do or say or think.
But how then do you extrapolate to the idea that there is this dark matter, which has never, ever been detected... directly in any laboratory.
The difference is...
Right? And its existence has essentially been inferred by the fact that there's this belief there's so much gravity and you can only account for a certain...
You can measure the gravity.
That's the difference.
The
we're not just making this stuff up out of the ether. We measure this stuff.
See, I make stuff up. He doesn't make stuff up. See, that's
so
the difference.
Just because you don't know what it's made of and have never actually seen
How
it...
How do you measure... Gravity.
That's good. That's good. So we're in orbit around the sun at a certain speed, and you can take that speed. We've known this since the days of Newton. Take that speed and the orbit and the distance and calculate how much mass the sun must have. Okay? Now, suppose we were moving much, much faster at this distance. You would calculate a much bigger mass for the sun. Okay? You can do this for the entire galaxy. The galaxy of stars, the 100 billion stars in our galaxy. When you do that, you measure how much gravity should be what the total mass should be in the middle of the galaxy, and you look around and add up all the stars, you get 1/6 of the total.
1/6.
1/6.
Wow. So you have gone on some interesting field trips to actually detect some of these dark matter particles that are theorized but have not been actually identified.
Right. You just came back.
In the service of the segments of Nova Science Now.
Airs tonight.
Yeah, in fact, premieres tonight. Premieres tonight, Wednesday night.
New season.
And across the country. And 9 consecutive weeks on Wednesday night. But I went half a mile beneath Earth's surface to join some physics colleagues.
Where?
Particle physics. This is it's a iron mine, a defunct iron mine in Minnesota, actually. And why down there? Because there are other particles in space that could masquerade as the dark matter particle that they theorize. So they have to be shielded.
So why are you trying to find something in the galaxy underground?
Because this matter, which they believe is matter. But by the way, you know the adage, if you're a hammer, then all your problems look like nails? So the dark matter problem, if you're a particle physicist, is imagined to be another particle.
But basically, the detector is guessing that there's a probability that of the particles that are streaming through us, these particles that don't interact with us, the dark matter, they still do have a chance of hitting something.
You're asking the right question. Here's the problem. Since we don't know anything about it, we don't know what it's made of, the detector that you design has to be based on some hypothesis that you have for what the dark matter could be.
This is a very controversial notion, though, right?
No.
The dark matter notion is not controversial.
It's measured.
Or how you look for it is not controversial.
So whose experiment might be the one that detects it is, if it succeeds, then it vindicates not only the design of the experiment, but the hypothesis that led to that design.
And the iron mine that you went to is detecting through chemistry, right? Through the presence of chemical elements are a byproduct of collisions?
It's hypothesizing. Right. No, it wouldn't be chemistry. It would be nuclear. But
nuclear, it
hypothesizes that a dark matter particle would come in and hit a crystal and vibrate the crystal. It'll rub its elbow into the crystal as it moved through.
Over in Japan, there's a detector that's actually using light to try to see if they can find
to trigger a light signal, and then they have detectors for...
And it's a big pool of water buried way deep in the ground.
Yeah, so what you have are these experiments that are each following someone else, a theorist's idea about what the dark matter could be made of.
So you're looking in the ground... Because there is some thought that whatever the dark matter is has intermingled.
Yes.
And therefore would have to
You go in the ground just because you want shielding. It's
too
easy.
Much noise here in New York.
And the mines are, they're convenient, they're defunct, and they're available. So you go down. The funny part is watching these, you know, fully trained physicists in their sort of lab outfits going down these mine shafts. Elevators, you know, like what the old miners used to take.
These are telescope guys and particle guys going down in these elevators.
It's kind of the opposite thought of
what do you hope to learn when or if it's discovered what makes up dark matter? Why is that a good thing?
It's actually worse than that, because not only do we not know what 85% of all the gravity of the universe is, there's another feature of the universe that accounts for even more than that. There's this pressure that's making the universe accelerate, and we call that dark energy. We measure that, and we don't know what that is either. When you add up dark matter and dark energy, it's 96% of everything that drives the universe, which means we only know and understand 4% of the cosmos.
Wow.
So we've got a
long way to go. We got a lot of homework.
It's a humbling fact.
And also,
about a present state of the world. So you want to ask, what do we learn? We learn what our place is in the universe. Well, the more you know, it's your situational awareness. You move into a new house, you say, well, I wonder what the backyard is. I wonder what the nearest mall is. Anyway, that's kind of...
Where are the neutrinos? You always do that.
It's a natural urge. And if it's not your natural urge, it's the natural urge of others among us. And they're the ones who originally got us out of the cave in the first place.
Well, the natural urges of all kinds of scientists are the subject, of course, of Nova Science Now, which premieres tonight. Dark matter is the subject of the first program, but there are lots of other subjects that you deal with.
It's not even limited to physics. Physiology, robotics, and it's all the frontiers of science. And we profile scientists who have interesting backgrounds and interview their family members and teachers.
Neil, thanks so much for coming by.
Okay, thank you.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist, host of Nova Science Now, kicks off his new season tonight on PBS, and he's also the director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History. Keep your responses coming to anything you heard on today's show. We're talking about the U.S. and Iran, dark matter on Earth, hero reports on the subway and all around the nation.
My name is Derek Allen, and my hero is my son. He's currently 3 years old, but at 2 years old, had to have brain surgery because he had a lesion in his left temporal lobe. And the fact that he went through with barely a whimper makes him a superhero to me.
Thank you very much. There's also a hero video on our website at thetakeaway.org. You should go to heroreports.org to report anything you see in the city of New York. And at thetakeaway.org, you can see all kinds of acts of courage because we are a courageous, heroic bunch, aren't
we? We try to be anyhow. You can also check out our new Facebook game. It's called the 2008 Veep Stakes. You can buy and sell potential running mates for Barack Obama and John McCain. We're on YouTube, iTunes,
we're
and
always
Facebook.
On.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.